Chiefs, the that's incredible.
Out of
down the sideline, touchdown,
and he looks the other way. And it's intercepted.
Welcome to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show.
Inside the five, Watkins to the end zone.
Brought to you by 7th Street Casino and GEHA Insurance.
And it's Williams with another touchdown.
Here are your hosts, Pete Sweeney and Jay Binkley.
Welcome into the Arrowhead Pride Chiefs postgame show on 610 Sports Radio. Pete Sweeney, the editor-in-chief of arrowheadpride.com, joined by Jay Binkley. And the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football take their first loss of the season, are now 4-1. They go down to the Indianapolis Colts by the score of 19-13. If we want you to get involved tonight, you can call us as well as text us on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. 69306. Jay, I have to say here, just felt like nothing could go right for the Kansas City Chiefs tonight. Several key players, including Sammy Watkins and Chris Jones, they left the game with injuries. The offensive line could not protect Patrick Mahomes, who clearly isn't right with an ankle injury. Looked like there was a re-injury. The defense cannot stop the run. The Chiefs could never really recover from their lone turnover, which was that LeSean McCoy fumble when the Chiefs were certainly going to take a lead. It was 10-10 at that time. Injuries were certainly a big factor, but the deficiencies on this team seem like they run deeper than that.
No question. They got off to a slow start again. Indy won the first quarter, 7-3. This has been a problem with the Chiefs since week one, where they scored 17 against Jacksonville, then went scoreless in the first quarter, the next three after that. But this game went, that's what I've been talking about, run defense, not pass defense. Run defense will kill you. My biggest fear, Pete, in this game, that Indianapolis would take Princeton basketball or Virginia basketball. We've all seen it.
Yeah.
In March Madness. It's boring. They dumb you down, they slow it down, and they drain you. That's exactly what the Colts did. The Colts run the ball 45% of the time, came in the night behind that big offensive line, which I give hat tip to Chris Ballard like I've done since he's been in Indy, went giving up the most sacks in 2017 to the fewest in 2018. That's when you have a good draft. When you draft a Quentin Nelson, sixth overall, and you draft Braden Smith from Olathe South High School in the first two picks that year. But time of possession, they had the ball 21 minutes in the second half. 37 minutes, 15 seconds to 22:45. And that seems slanted, Pete, but you think about the possessions these had. The Indianapolis Colts had the ball 10 times. The Kansas City Chiefs had the ball 10 times. The fact is, the Colts could run the football. They were more physical than the Kansas City Chiefs. Teams haven't had the talent that Indy does, especially with this offensive line. Detroit tried their best. They tried their best. They won the time of possession battle. And you look at yards per carry. Jacksonville, 5.06. Oakland, 6.78. Ravens, 6.34. Lions, 5.31. Tonight, the Colts, 4 yards a carry, but they ran the ball so many times. And then the Chiefs, a pathetic 36 carries, or 36 yards on 14 carries, Pete. That's not good enough. Chiefs running game should have been good. The two worst running defense in the NFL were on display tonight. The Chiefs were giving up 5.9 per. The Colts, 5.5 for the Chiefs. We're in such a close game. When Pat Mahomes kind of tweaked that ankle in the second quarter and it got worse from then on,
sure,
that would have been a good time for the Chiefs to run the football. The game was close. Sometimes you have to shift gears,
sure,
and just find a way to get the W. The Chiefs could not run the football and protect Patrick Mahomes, and I get it. Both number one and two wide receivers were out. Watkins was gone early on. Tyreek Hill didn't play. Eric Fisher didn't play. You know what? The Colts had both starting safeties out, a starting defensive lineman, and a linebacker out in this game, plus countless two rookies making their first playing action tonight for the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, there are no excuses. I mean, a lot of people will point to injuries here.
They had them, too. They had a ton of them.
They had a ton coming into the game, including guys who were great contributors for them. Paris Campbell, Clayton Gethers, Malik Hooker, Darius Leonard, just to name a few. And speaking of injuries, the Chiefs have had their fair share in this game. Sammy Watkins, Xavier Williams, Anthony Hitchens, Chris Jones, Mahomes a little hobbled, Andrew Wiley. So in a few minutes, we're going to get to our in-house injury expert, Aaron Borgman. But until then, you can reach out to us again on the Protein House, Eat with a Purpose text line 69306, or you can call us 913-576-7610. Let's go out to the phone lines. First up, Reggie, what's going on?
Hey, man, I'll make this short and sweet. We've known that the deficiencies on this team are well documented. We haven't been able to stop the run since bell bottoms were in style. The run defense is hot, caramelized ass juice right now. We can't stop the run even if we wanted to. It doesn't matter if Bob Sutton's in there. It doesn't matter if Spagnuolo's the coordinator. And that is how you beat the Chiefs. Obviously, the injuries didn't help us tonight, but not being able to run the ball also hurt us. And I've been beating the drum about the run defense for the past 2 years, and I mean, Chiefs fans, we've seen exactly how that happens now. I just hope that
you're preaching to the choir, Reggie.
I know, I know, and people have been poo-pooing it, saying, "Oh, we got Pat." Well, now you don't have Watkins. Now you don't have Hill. Now you don't. I don't know where the hell LeSean McCoy was. Now you don't have Chris Jones. Now you don't have. I mean, Williams at the. I mean, it's just a hodgepodge of guys, and I'm very concerned moving on next week to the Houston Texans, because they could foreseeably come in here and put 30 up on us and beat us again. So hopefully everything is cleaned up, man. But yeah, this sucks.
It does suck. Here's the thing: Pierre Desir, the corner for the Colts, did get hurt, came back in the game. Rock Ya-Sin played. By the way, that's a guy that I wanted. Rookie Kenny Moore got hurt. Backup corner gets hurt in this game. Shaquille Taylor made his first NFL snaps tonight for them. Marvell Tell, first defensive snaps for the Colts tonight. Kerry Willis, a rookie playing. That secondary was banged up. That was second and third stringers there. They were without a starting defensive tackle and a starting linebacker
in
this
game.
Their third leading tackler was out in this game. I mean, it was unbelievable how many injuries not only did we have, but they had as well. So don't give me the injury thing, because the Colts were a banged-up unit.
Reggie made the point about LeSean McCoy, who didn't end up having a carry in this game, only the two catches for 23 yards, and you really didn't see. And a good point by Dusty. We have to go back and look at the tape, but you didn't really see much of McCoy after that key fumble early on this game. Let's go back out to the phone lines again. You can get in touch with us, 913-576-7610. We'll go to Connor. What's going on?
How's it going, guys?
Hey,
so I got a couple things here. So everyone wants this big name corner. Why? When one of our biggest assets, Patrick Mahomes, needs to be protected. Let's go get some beefy linemen. Let's keep this guy on his feet, because guess what? We lose Mahomes, we lose it all. So I think our passing defense is good enough, but if we can't keep Mahomes on his feet, our season's done. Our next.
Hey, Connor, did you realize the Chiefs? Done. Did you realize the Chiefs came into this game with the second fewest sacks given up in the NFL? They had three.
They had three
coming in tonight, tied with that offensive line of the Dallas Cowboys. Only the 49ers have given up fewer sacks than the Chiefs with two, and they had a bye week. So yeah, but tonight sucked. They had four. They gave up four sacks. Cam Irving was crap tonight. No question about it. He even stepped on Mahomes' ankle.
Yeah, I know it's just frustrating, and then we see it. We pay Frank Clark all this money. He hasn't been here all year. But if you guys want to carry on or listen off air, I appreciate it.
What you get concerned about, and it's a good point by Connor, is not only do the Chiefs need a cornerback, that's still a need for them. You can make a case that they need an athletic linebacker. You can now make a case that they need an offensive tackle, maybe even some interior help. You can make a case that they need a running back, because tonight. Damian Williams wasn't it. Same thing even with a backup tight end.
Damian Williams has not been it. He's got one of the worst yards per carry in the NFL. He's not the answer.
There are so many just needs that were kind of revealed themselves tonight. It's tough. It was a tough game to watch, because it made the Chiefs really look bad in a lot of different positions. Let's keep this thing going. Justin, what's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on, boys?
Hey.
I just want to put this on Brett Veach and Andy Reid. Brett Veach wanted to go cheap this offseason. We have all this cap space, and we got rid of Alan Bailey and Justin Houston. Alan Bailey was an awesome, awesome running stop guy, and we got rid of him, and we didn't get nobody to replace him, and all these little dinky dunks that Andy Reid's been calling, they got to go. If we want to win a championship, we got to get rid of them and bring on somebody who actually wants to win.
All right, that's a good point. I mean, you do want to bring on someone who wants to win.
Here's the thing about cap space.
He wants to get rid of Andy Reid and Brett Beach.
No. There's no reason. There's no reason for either one of those. Here's the reason on the cap space. They're going to have to pay Patrick Mahomes, all right? Brett Veach is trying to massage the cap. They went out and spent a crap load on Frank Clark and Tyrann Mathieu, which, by the way, the Honey Badgers made some big-time plays this year. He really has. You know, he makes that sack last week. He made
– Tyrann Mathieu wasn't in this game, it would have been a lot worse.
Well, no, he made an interception in the red zone. Second
the tackle for loss, too.
The minus 8 yards. That was when the Colts are running at will, Tyrann Mathieu comes up, makes a play. He was great. He was outstanding. He made plays. This is why you hired him. But they spent money on defense. The offensive line, here's the thing, 4 sacks tonight. A big part of it is you can't run the football. It is. When your quarterback is hobbling, you've got to find a way to run the ball. Even Collinsworth pointed it out. He's 100% right. The play-action pass doesn't come into existence when there's no threat of you running. But just like that Ravens game.
The thing is, you have that guy on the roster now, LeSean McCoy, and they just didn't utilize him tonight.
Well, and I don't know if he got in the doghouse, was banged up. What we'll hear from Andy Reid in just a little bit. Just like the Ravens game, where they run Hardman on a sweep. They run McCoy to the other flat. And then you got Mahomes hiding the football, throwing to Travis Kelce, which should be noted. Kelce and Bieniemy in a little hit exchange in the first half. Bieniemy actually got a little shove, then they hugged it out. But you don't like seeing that on the sideline.
Can't shove a coach.
Yeah, but they hugged it out. They hugged it out, Pete. You shoved me tonight. So
yeah, but we work at a radio station.
We worked it out.
It's not a football team. I believe there will be some kind of a penalty in-house. It'll be taken care of.
Yeah, you can't shove a coach.
In-house by Andy Reid. Again, you can reach out to us, Protein House, Tea with a Purpose, text line 69306. You can call us 913-576-7610. In just a few minutes, we'll be talking to the Arrowhead Pride in-house injury expert, Aaron Borgman, because the Chiefs have a ton of them. But for right now, we'll go out to Fred. Fred, what's up, man?
How you doing?
Hey.
Okay, I want to comment on the first two callers, and then I want to hopefully get my end point here. I'll make it quick.
Okay.
I don't understand. I've said this for the last couple years when I call in. If you look at the other teams, including the team we versed today, that quarterback could have wrote a novel in the time he had. And so my point is, that we understand that on our offensive side of it, but the point is that just like you said on the running play, with no running play, there is no, you know, acting like you're running it and then tossing it down the field.
Play action.
People need to understand that on the defense, it's the same thing. There is not going to be a coverage sack for the Chiefs because the corners and safeties just aren't doing anything. Vice versa, with no pass rush and these quarterbacks running around for half an hour and doing whatever they want, it's hard for any corner or safety not to eventually hold or make some sort of mistake. So again, to the end point, instead of people doing the same old Chiefs and media deal here where we start talking about Frank Clark's what he's getting paid, all this other stuff, all of a sudden the defense is going to magically get better when some players come back. Just remember this. If we're going to go to the Super Bowl and win it, learn from the Patriots, the Rams of last year. I don't care if we have to give 10 first-round picks. If an elite cornerback, an elite pass rusher, an elite Kontari-type Poe rush stopper, that helps the entire defense, any one of them, just like the examples I gave.
All right, Fred. Good stuff, man. I got to let you go, man. You're talking for a long time. No, you got to run the football, Fred. Here's the thing.
Fred had a lot of thoughts.
I had somebody tweet out at me, because I'm an old school football guy. I do believe in the run. And he had tweeted out to me, he said, this is a Chiefs fan, big Chiefs fan. He hits me up quite a bit, you know. What about running the football? What about throwing it? Last year in the playoffs, where does it get you? Well, Patriots ran the ball 155, 176, and 154 their three playoff games. They averaged 161 yards on the game.
Yeah.
So much for modern football at times. This was simply smash-mouth football. We haven't even got to some of the secondary play. I don't think the pass defense is the biggest concern. Bashaud Breeland wins my un-MVP of the game.
Yes.
4 penalties. He had 3 in the first half. You can call me at night, 7:45, Bank at Night, for the un MVP of the game. It's Bashaud Breeland. You win absolutely nothing, but you can call Dusty and I tomorrow night if you know the answer, Bashaud Breeland.
Is this real?
We have nothing to give away. I'm just saying it's the on MVP. We'll bring it up tomorrow at 7:45.
That's like the guy before this saying, I'm going to make it short and then made it long.
That's Fred.
The Colts.
I'm going to make this short then pause for 5 seconds. Come on, Fred.
Even, I think, bigger than the Chiefs not being able to run the football, the Colts finally figured out at the end of the game, toward the end of the game when they were making it 16-10, that they just need to run. They ran 9 times in a row when they realized, hey, if we run at any time in this game, we're going to get at least 5 yards, 6 yards, 9 yards, 5 yards, 6 yards, five. It's the, and I tweeted this out, and it's just true, the Chiefs' run defense is embarrassing right now.
No, it's embarrassing. As Brandon Kiley pointed out, that's the second worst run defense through 4 games coming in tonight in NFL history. At 8:22 left in the fourth quarter, Pete, they had the ball for 17 minutes and 32 seconds. We had the ball for 3 minutes and 40 seconds. And here's the thing. The argument, run defense or pass defense, which is worse? I'll stand on this. Run defense is, you know why? If your pass defense is bad, Pat Mahomes gets back on the field. You know what? You want some of that smoke? I'll go. I'll roll with Mahomes in a shootout with you any day. But if you keep Mahomes over there on the sideline on the bench with Andy Reid
right. The
whole game, what can he do to you if he can't be on the field to hurt you in the Colts display tonight? This is how you beat the Chiefs. Anybody can run on this team. Third down is like, they're going to run it. They're going to run it. They might as well run it.
I don't know why it took the Colts so long to figure it out. And why? I mean, it's been a problem the entire year.
Pat Mahomes has bailed him out.
70% of the time you should be running the football.
The Jags ran at will against this, and it doesn't really look like that because they had 81 yards rushing, but they had to throw the football. Unless Pat Mahomes comes out, and that's why I was surprised. The Colts deferred. Chiefs get the ball. Okay, go down there. Get Andy Reid scripts his first 15 plays. Go down there. Change the complexion. I would have loved for this game to have been a shootout. Come on, Jacoby Brissett versus Patrick Mahomes?
Sure.
Jacoby Brissett was not he was 18 of 29 tonight for 151. I would have taken a shootout with Jacoby Brissett and Patrick Mahomes because the Chiefs win that game every time. They knew they were deficient. They knew they had injuries. They knew one thing, they have to line up and run behind Costanzo and Quentin Nelson, Braden Smith. They knew they have some horses on the offensive line. Rarely does offensive linemen get the spotlight of Quentin Nelson, which is the best interior lineman in the NFL, that he got the run tonight from Collinsworth.
Yep, and you have a little bit of that poetic justice at the end there with Justin Houston really making the final play on fourth down in the back in the backfield, and he turns to the Chiefs bench and pounds his chest. I mean, this was a player, and you know, you got to be fair here. This was a player the Chiefs released and said, you know, we're good and we need the cap space. And he came back and had the sack and then that big play at the end there. We're joined now by the Arrowhead Pride injury expert, Aaron Borgman. And Aaron, when we're talking to you, it's never good news. Just a slew of injuries for the Chiefs tonight.
Yeah, and obviously we don't know severity and all these things just yet. We have a decent idea, at least a beginning idea, but a little bit of a list tonight, which is never ideal.
Yeah, I'm going to go through just a few of them, and I guess what we can do is if you have any notes or insight on some of the things that you were seeing, you could stop me. Sammy left the game early on in the hamstring, kind of reminiscent of last year against the Los Angeles Rams on Monday night, where he tried to give his injury a go and just couldn't and ended up missing more time, so you hope that's not the case this year. Xavier Williams, Anthony Hitchens, and Chris Jones. Williams has an ankle injury, Hitchens a groin, and Chris Jones a groin. Aaron, Jones came out pretty quickly. You noted, I saw on Twitter, it's kind of tough to tell with that particular injury, but he did come out right away.
Yeah, so going from kind of what you talked about with Sammy, I think you covered that pretty well.
Sure.
Jones came out real quick. I did see him run off the field, and then they showed the replay. You can't really tell much, you know, from that type of thing with that injury. The fact that they ruled him out so quickly means it's, you know, it's pretty definitive. Either the player said he just couldn't go or the med staff saw of them. So we'll wait for updates there. Hitchens was at least on the sideline after the fact. So we know it wasn't affecting him as much as Jones, more than likely. The one concerning one to me was Xavier Williams. I didn't see a great replay, and I freely admit that. But what I did see was non-contact, and he was injured as he was planting and pushing against the O-lineman. So I'll be interested to hear some updates from that. Obviously, Pat Mahomes with the re-aggravation of his ankle. I mentioned that I still believe that this is some high ankle component. I think the kid's incredibly tough. playing through all this, waving off medical attention. You got to love that. And then with Wiley, the ankle, he got stepped on from behind, as we saw on the replay there. And it looks like kind of an inversion basketball-type ankle injury as well.
For the Patrick Mahomes ankle issue, you know, just for us lay people out here, big difference between ankle and high ankle. And if he is dealing with some kind of high ankle, what is a little bit different about that than just maybe your regular ankle sprain?
Yeah, so the regular basketball ankle sprain, as we call them, deals with one major ligament on the outside of your ankle for the most part. The high ankle sprain is probably a bad name, but it's what we have right now. It deals with the connective tissue between your tibia and your fibula, and if that gets disrupted, you know, you can have some reaggravations from time to time. Obviously, we saw why his was reaggravated, because it was stepped on, but it's not something that goes away as quick as the first type of ankle sprain, for sure.
So, with that being said, I just wonder, because the Chiefs don't have a bye week for a little bit now, is he going to be able to fully recover until the season's up? Like, because now if it's re-aggravated, you probably start at zero, I'm assuming. Is this something he's just going to have to deal with for 2019?
Yeah, I mean, the long and the short answer is probably yes.
Yeah.
To what degree and to how that affects him. I think we've seen that the kid can play through stuff, man. It doesn't seem to have affected his play overall from his actual mobility and ability to throw the ball. Now, obviously, you'd like to not have it continue to be re-aggravated by things that you can prevent, like people stepping on it and things like that. But I personally don't see it affecting him, even if it is still bothering him. I don't see it affecting his play.
Right. Well, that's the voice of Aaron Borgman, our injury expert at arrowheadpride.com. As we get more information, I'm sure Andy Reid, who we'll hear from in a little bit, will have some more info, and then we should get even more information on Wednesday with the first injury report leading into the Houston Texans game, and Aaron will break it all down at arrowheadpride.com. Aaron, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on tonight, guys.
You can check out Borgman Rehab Solutions if you're an athlete in the area and have any injuries. He does a great job, borgmanrehabsolutions.com. He'll come to you, he'll fix your leg. A great guy for us also, too, at arrowheadpride.com. We're going to get more to it. Some of your phone calls, some analysis. Eventually, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, we'll hear from them. Right now, we're just coming off of the Chiefs' first loss of the season, a 19-13 loss to the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday Night Football. You're listening to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show.
Back to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show, brought to you by 7th Street Casino. Here's Pete Sweet and Jay Binkley.
Welcome back into the Arrowhead Pride postgame show. 610 Sports Radio. The Chiefs dropped their first game of the season, 19-13, to the Indianapolis Colts. Pete Sweeney hanging out with the great Jay Binkley.
Would like to point something out, Pete. Number one, you said the Chiefs are going to go 16-0. That is now defunct.
That's right.
Also, our Survivor League, you had one X because you had the Rams last week.
Oh, yeah.
You picked the Chiefs tonight to win at home.
That's right.
In the all red. It was the primetime game. Holmes hadn't fared
red
well.
On red. I was feeling the juice.
Pete is out.
Why are you doing this?
I'm just pointing out the obvious. I'm just pointing out facts. Pete's out of Survivor League. And he called 16-0. They're both wrong.
Yes. Shout out, Henry.
Go to the phone line. Shout out, Henry.
If you want to call us, me and Grumpy Jay.
No, shout out Reggie for the light of the night.
913-576-7610. Dan and KCK, what's up, Dan?
Good evening, Pete. Good evening.
Good evening.
Tough night for the Chiefs.
Tough
night for Brilliant with four penalties. The only bright spot is Tyrone Mathieu with a couple of big plays, the interception and the fumble. And I agree with you, Brink. The Colts, the Chiefs should attack that weak Colts secondary. My goodness, I haven't heard these Colts players before. Chiefs should have attacked them, and I thought they were going by 18. But they'll bounce back next week. And I got to say that Spagnuolo's got to fix this run defense. Take care of yourself, guys.
I'm pretty sure there's a good chance most of Indianapolis had never heard of some of the guys playing. Two guys were getting their first NFL snaps.
Not great. Paul, you've been waiting a while. What's going on?
What's going on, guys? I just have a quick point to make. Hey, sure. Pink, I just had a question, man. Is this the first or second game that Patty's won without scoring 25 points?
This is the first time in the last 23 games. They had gone 22 straight games, it was an NFL record, with 26 points or more. Tonight snaps that, so game 23, that streak ends.
And it is.
I don't have to keep track of it anymore. Even though I like keeping track of it, it's fun, but it's done. Just like Pete.
It, It is, man. And just tonight's frustrating, man. I was blessed to have a ticket on the 40-yard line, 15 rows back on the Chiefs sideline.
Wow.
From a good buddy of mine, and I was able to sit there and watch it, man. And I'm sick and tired of people saying that Frank Clark is getting double covered and stuff like that, because he's not, man. I watched a lot of one-on-one him on the line and just not seeing a lot of pressure. But
I'm with you on Frank Clark. And by the way, let me ask you a quick question since you were so close. How was the light show?
The light show was awesome, man. We thought it was going to be
part of the night.
Dark.
All right,
it was going to be completely dark, but it wasn't.
That's fine. All right, that's enough of that. I thought the light show was stupid.
Good call from Paul. Glad that he was able to tell us about the light show.
What do you think? It's a Quiet Riot concert in the mid-'80s? I mean, come on, man. We'll just win the damn game. Who cares about your cell phone and your little app showing the light? Just win the damn game, run the football, and stop the run. That's what I care about, no stupid light show.
We get back from break, and Bink is all over me. Yeah. About my predictions and me losing the survivor pool, and now you're talking about the light show, which was honestly the best part of the night for the Chiefs tonight.
Yeah, back to Frank Clark.
Okay,
seriously.
you don't mention anything bad about Jay Beagle. You're just completely tasty.
I'd rather talk about the stupid light show than Frank Clark.
Get off
all right?
My lawn, says Jay.
But
Beagle.
I knew this was going to be tough. This back offensive to line, Clark. I knew it was going to be tough.
Yeah.
For Frank Clark to show out, he had a few plays where he said, "Oh wow, there's Frank Clark getting around the edge." He was double teamed a few times. He saw a lot of single man on it. We watched a lot of Frank Clark. He did get some double teams. There was a few of those, but not many of them. Frank Clark did show out. He had a nice little spin move, but didn't go anywhere. But, yes, this offensive line, Braden Smith, he's a beast. You know, I hate to see when the local kids go out there and hurt us.
I mean,
it happened.
Yeah, that's fine. The Chiefs traded a first and second rounder and paid Frank Clark a lot of money. And tonight there was a question of, okay, who's going to have the better night? Is it going to be Frank Clark or Justin Houston? Well, Justin Houston won the night. Here was Houston after the game.
Congratulations. I know this one, it's got to mean a lot to you to see how the team played together as a whole, but also knowing your history here with this team, how great was it winning for you tonight?
It was big, not just for me, but for this team. Y'all know how we played last week. We didn't play good. But to come out here and to win in this tough environment, that says a lot about this team, about us. And I hope we just continue to build off this situation and just continue to do what we can do, because I think I know we got a great team, and I know we can do great things. We just got to stay focused and not beat ourselves.
You've been around that offense before. For you guys are holding up 13 points. What does that say about this defense?
It says how special we are and how special we can be. We just got to continue to do it every week in and week out.
Justin, what's the motivation, extra motivation against these guys?
I'll be lying to say if it wasn't, but that's just like your old girlfriend. You get a new girlfriend, you want to show off, huh? I'll be lying to say if I wasn't. To come here and to get a win, it means a lot to me, but to this team as well.
Hey, Justin, was there a specific down
move that you used on that fourth down play against Cam Irving?
Oh, no, they left me free, so glory be to God. He put me in position to make a play, and I've made it.
What was the emotion afterwards? I just saw you kind of yelling towards the Chiefs side.
I said some of everything. I don't know what I said. I was mic'd up, so y'all probably got to check the mic on that one. I said some of everything. I don't know what I was saying.
Justin, you had your family in the front row behind that Colts bench. What did it mean to get this win with them watching on right over your shoulder?
I think it meant the most to my son, Junior. I know he felt some type of way when the Chiefs released me. So he was in his feelings. So for us to come here and to beat them, I know it means a lot to him. So I'm happy I can put a smile on his face.
How much of this is a testament to the depth of this team? You have everybody stepping up. I mean, Bobby O'Grady had a couple of big plays. Kenny Moore, yourself, D'Anico, everybody really stepping up and elevating
you. Yeah, I think we got depth from top to bottom. We got guys who can step up at any moment and make a play to put us in position to win the game. And I think Chris Ballard did a great job putting this team together. And we just got to continue to build on what we have. We have a great team. So we just got to stop beating ourselves and continue to stay focused and get better every week.
What's this feeling going into the bye week?
It feels great. Like I said, to go into bye week with a victory and against a team like that says a lot about us. So we just got to stay focused.
Justin, you mentioned your son. I'm guessing just growing up here, he probably has quite a few buddies that are Chiefs fans. Is that why you think it meant quite a bit to him?
My son is a big football player. He's a huge fan. I'm pretty sure he knows more about football than my wife does. So he knows players. He'd be asking me questions and telling me things about football that I don't even know about.
There's been times we got in an argument. I'm like, no, that ain't true. And I go look it up. I'm like, yeah, it is true. My bad. I'm sorry, son. But, like, he's a huge fan. So he was a diehard. But he followed daddy. Wherever daddy go, he support daddy. So, but we was here. He was a huge Chiefs fan. Now he's a Colts fan. So
he probably has some buddies that still root for the Chiefs, I'm guessing.
I'm pretty sure he got friends that still root for the Chiefs because he went to school here. So I'm definitely I'm positive.
That's Colts defensive end, Justin Houston. The former Chief makes a really big play at the end of the game there, and you could hear him talking about how he wants to show off his new girlfriend. He really feels like he had the last laugh tonight, and he did.
And how Kim Irving let him go free? Did I hear that right? Dirty Werewolf, Dusty, yeah. Did I hear that right?
Yeah.
Is that what he said? Kim Irving let him go three? It sure the hell looked like it, too. It sure that I miss Justin Houston. Here's the thing. We switched to a 4-3. He goes to Indy, 4-3, hand in the dirt. He's been good. You know, he had a sack last week, so he got a forced fumble, got to the quarterback tonight.
From the Colts,
played well against the run, made really nice stop against Damien Williams.
The Colts writers that I've talked to, at least coming in this week, said he's been pretty good, you know, okay. If you knew Justin Houston, you knew that he was going to come in with a head of steam tonight. I'd be interested to see if he plays this well the rest of the season. He's a guy that you sometimes wondered about motivation. Again, plenty to be motivated about tonight, and I think you saw a result of that.
There was fewer players I saw work as hard as Justin Houston, though. I mean, he was always hitting the sled after practice. I mean, always. He was always the guy hitting it at the end. James Palmer from NFL Network, front of the show, says Justin Houston told him that he had a lot of motion coming back to Arrowhead to combat that. He told me he got the stadium extra early so he could walk the field in the stadium to get those emotions out of his system. This game did mean something. Matt Taylor, the play-by-play of the Colts, I had him on this week, and he was talking about the leadership angle he brought.
Yep.
Listen, Chris Ballard has done a good job, and the Chiefs did take a hit in the front office. We can talk about losing free agents here and there, but this front office, for a while, had Ballard and Veach and John Dorsey, three really good talent evaluators. Now, John Dorsey not so good with the cap, but three good talent evaluators here. Those are big losses. And Ballard left in January to go to Indianapolis. Brett Veach was hired that summer. Chris Ballard would have been the GM here. And Justin Houston credited Chris Ballard. Rarely does a player give credit to a general manager like he did there. Chris Ballard had a plan. Not only is it Justin Houston's production, because you can still get production on Houston, he brought him in for leadership. He brought him in to motivate the team. Seriously, when he brought him in, and not only that, he brought him in because he knows the Chiefs extremely well. Justin Houston knows the Kansas City Chiefs. They thought they had Andrew Luck. I thought the Colts were going to be one of the better teams in the AFC this year because they went on the road and won a game with Andrew Luck. I saw this as a Super Bowl team. I think they're a very solid team, but I don't see them as a Super Bowl team with Jacoby Brissett.
I think I look at that trio, though. You nailed it on the head. They were all working together where you had John Dorsey, Brett Veach, and Chris Ballard. I do sometimes wonder if the Chiefs let the best option walk right out the room in Ballard. And because the plan, and you hear him talk, and you talk to people around the league, people that have worked with him, and they just have the world to say about Chris Ballard. It's just a really smart football mind. You heard Andy Reid talking about
it.
He's
great with the cap, too. They had the more money than anybody.
No, and he brought in Justin Houston, Spencer Ware for a little bit, no longer with the Colts, but Justin Houston as well. Again, you're not happy for the Colts tonight as a Chiefs fan, but you can see why they're so thrilled about the victory. Let's go to Corey. What's up, Corey?
I think I'm actually going to call him sick tomorrow.
You are?
Is that all you got, Corey? That's all he's got.
He's got it.
Corey's going to call him sick.
Don,
hey, don't pout it out. Just go to work. Don, you know, the team is going to lose.
Don's on the line.
Hey, now, I got about five quick points, you guys.
Five quick. Make it three.
First of all, let's cover the embarrassing part here. Number one, Breland. Embarrassing. Number two, Cam Irving, embarrassing. Mm. Number three, Kelsey pushing the enemy on the sideline, embarrassing. Andy Reid seemed to be the lost control of the team there in the first half. I see a man that's standing there with no emotion. He should have been getting angry and been in some people's faces. I didn't see it. Also, the defensive game plan of the Colts. That's the way I've been saying all along for the team to play the Chiefs. You just pressure the offensive, keep the pressure on, and keep Pat off the field. So cats out of the bag there.
Well, the cats started getting out of the bag, so to speak, last year. The Ravens, they had a good game played against the Chiefs. They ended up going to overtime with them. The Seahawks beat us time of possession. They won in Seattle 7 points. And the Chargers came in here. Anthony Lynn, the head coach, even said, use our offense as a defense. I mean, he spelled it out. And people say, oh, there's no blueprint. There's no blueprint. Hogwash. There's a blueprint on how to beat this team. Just some teams haven't been able to do it. They haven't been talented enough to do it. Detroit
right now, the blueprint, Jay, is to just run with any running back that you have.
It's very simple.
Run with any running back that you have, and you're going to get chunk yardage. Eventually, you're going to explode for a 20 to 25, 30-yard play, and then you're going to be able to drain out the clock just as the Colts did tonight.
This is how big this game was to Indy. Per James Palmer, NFL Network, who's pretty much been embedded with the Chiefs all year. Jim Irsay, the owner of the Colts, said tonight's win is arguably the biggest regular season win in franchise history. That's going a little crazy. Frank Reich, according to James Palmer, said they walked in the stadium with confidence that he can't even describe. Said it was because they had the best week of practice he's ever seen the team have. He can't even begin to talk about the meetings they had at the end of the week. They were amazing. Back to the caller. When he talks about Reid and emotion, Andy Reid has done nothing but win in Kansas City. He'll figure this thing out. But the one thing about Andy Reid is, some guys just aren't the in-your-face guys. They're just not. Tony Dungy was a really good coach. He went to 2 Super Bowls, won a Super Bowl. Tony Dungy, or no, didn't get there with the Bucs, but he won it with the Colts. Tony Dungy is one of the best coaches ever in the history of the NFL. He wasn't an in-your-face guy. He was not an in-your-face guy, and he still found a way to win. Some guys aren't, and that's okay.
But those type of coaches rely on some of the players to do that. And again, we weren't at the game tonight. We do it from the studio, so we didn't get to see. But from some of the tweets that you saw, I know that Ron the Show Hughley was out there, and he was tweeting about how fired up Travis Kelce was. And there were players that were trying to light fires into these guys.
And maybe Reid does it when we don't see him.
Right.
He just keeps trolls it. Yes, I mean, exactly.
I've seen
guys get his dog
with the media. I mean, he can get an attitude. I'm sure he shows that with his players, and that's probably more of a thing that's behind closed doors. I thought there were a few defensive players that had good nights for the Chiefs. Damian Wilson comes to mind, and so does Tano Pasanio. But of course, Tyrann Mathieu, probably the best defensive player for the Chiefs this Sunday night. Here's Tyrann Mathieu after the game in the locker room.
Not one of the win tonight, but could you walk us through the interception real quick?
I didn't think he saw me throw it right to me. Just try to make a play.
What was the most frustrating aspect from the defensive's point of view tonight?
We had a chance to, our offense is a good offense, and most weeks they're going to put us in position to win games. I felt like today was our chance to, kind of take that step. And, we didn't do that.
You seem to be the voice every week of describing how the defense went. You guys stopped them in the red zone, held them to field goals, got turnovers. How would you describe today's performance overall by the defense?
Not good enough. Not good enough.
Was there anything, offensively, especially did in the run game, that you guys weren't expecting?
Teams are going to do this every week to us until we figure it out. They're going to run the ball down our throats. So, after a while, it becomes a pride thing, and has nothing to do with coaching, has nothing to do with technique, has everything to do with attitude, and if you want to stop them. So, got a big week, got a team that's coming in next week that could score 60 points. So, we've got a tough challenge ahead.
You talk about the offense, and usually being there and everything. Did it surprise you to it could be in a situation where you only give up 19 points? And you still can't get the win.
Right. Yeah, that's the frustrating part. I felt like, we had a great week of practice. Felt like we played together all week. And for stretches during this game, felt like we really stepped up, made big plays. But, it was a few plays in that game that, obviously we want back. And most games would be like that. But anytime you have a chance to, win the game or help your team win the game, everybody has to feel that. And, we came up short today.
You talk about, that it's not, coaching, it's not scheme, anything. What is it about just being able to build against the run and to be able to get those stops that you need?
Yeah, like I said, it's a pride thing. It's just like tackling. Either you want to tackle or you don't. It becomes an attitude thing. And, we gotta pick it up if we want to go where we want to go as a team. A lot of teams are going to come in here and They're going to, you know, do their best to harass our offense and, you know, do their best to keep them on the sideline. And as a defense, you know, you got to take pride in being in those situations, you know, being challenged, having some adversity. I like our group. I think we got some tough players, some prideful players. And hopefully this loss stick with us for a while so we can, you know, continue to, you know, start fast, finish strong, you know, make critical plays, you know, not make critical mistakes.
That's Chiefs safety Tyrann Mathieu. And Tyrann Mathieu, probably one of the lone bright spots for the Chiefs tonight. So we're going to name him our player of the game. The player of the game is brought to you by Mazarese Jewelry. Jewelry that's dazzled Kansas City for over 40 years. If you listen to Bob Fesco at Fesco in the Morning, 9:30 a.m. tomorrow, if you know the player of the game, you could win $25 to Topper's Pizza, and one monthly winner will win the grand prize of a $500 Mazarese gift card. Tyrann Mathieu, your player of the game.
Byron Pringle probably could have finished a close second. 6 for 103 tonight. Becoming another Chiefs leading in yardage. We've seen this year. First game in Jacksonville, Sammy Watkins, then DeMarcus Robinson. Then we had Mecole Hardman, and then we had Travis Kelce. Tonight was Byron Pringle. What's that show you? Five different game, five leading receivers by yardage. Shows you Pat Mahomes spreads the ball around. He was without Hill. He was without Watkins. Unfortunately, wouldn't get the protection, didn't have the running game to help him. But Pringle did step up and do things. But back to Tyrann Mathieu, this is why he's here, Pete.
Yeah.
This is why he's here. It's an attitude. We got to make tackles. We got to tackle. He said it right there. Even Ben Neiman showed up as one of the leading tacklers for this team. You know, find the guys that want to play. Tyrann's not happy. And you heard him there. You know, we can't let our offense get pushed around. We need to step up. It's an attitude thing. This is a defense thing. You know what? He's backing it up now. You know, he's cashing the check. You know, he's making plays. He's making winning-type plays for this defense. And I tell you, this is why he's here. You know, he's here to just not let people pout, not let them cry, build them back up. But he's right. They're not going to win games if Pat Mahomes, they're sitting on the sideline. Defense is an attitude. He's bringing that attitude, hopefully. One man can't do it all. Frank Clark, I'm disappointed in because he should have been this guy too. Frank Clark should have been like the Honey Badger because the Honey Badger is backing it up.
Well, they both talked to talk a little bit, especially in the offseason. And it took Tyrann a few games, I think, to notice him. I don't know if they were necessarily throwing in his direction. He got the two opportunities last game where the ball went in and out of his hands, and you see him finally cash in with that interception tonight. You can call us 913-576-7610. Let's go out to the phone line. Charlie. But
that tackle was probably more important. I mean, that tackle.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Yeah, no doubt. But, hey, Charlie, how you doing?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. They told me not to cuss, and that's probably going to be the hardest thing I've, you know, ever accomplished. But
try to keep it in, but we understand.
I mean, this was just such a disappointing game to watch. You know, offensively, defensively, you know, bringing Spags in, I was looking for some improvement on the defense, and I just couldn't see it tonight, couldn't see it, you know, last game. And even, you know, this red on red, it's supposed to bring energy to this offense, and I was wondering if you guys knew the stats on you know, our win-loss record on the red-on-red.
The Chiefs drops a 5-5 in the red-on-red tonight.
And see, like, you know, you'd want that to be, you know, 10-0. And I'm wondering, you know, where we need to improve to, you know, get this championship-caliber team to, you know, to the championship. And with that, I'll let you guys go.
Well, it's not the uniform. Let's not blame the uniform.
I think that's the most upsetting thing tonight, right? Because it's not like you really felt like the team played well and it was one play that got away from you. There were several different problems with this team.
What bothers me is, again, how they turned into Virginia basketball, how they turned into Princeton basketball. 11-play, 70-yard drive that they had for touchdown that took 5 minutes and 18 seconds off the clock. I think the biggest drive of the game, though, was the 14-play, 8 minutes, 34 seconds.
9 runs in a row.
Where they got the field goal. They didn't cash in, but they got a field goal. Vinatieri's been shaky this year, but he was good tonight. 14 plays, 8 minutes and 34 seconds. Again, that's what does it. Chiefs, 10 possessions. Colts, 10 possessions. But time of possession, ridiculous. 37-15 for the Colts, 22-45 for the Chiefs. And the Colts had the ball 21 minutes in the second half, just barely what the Chiefs had. And keep this in mind. The Chiefs had the ball less than the Patriots did in the first half last year of that AFC title game. They've been at close because of Pat Mahomes. But they've got to find a way to flip this TOP. Not only that, but the Chiefs last year were the most penalties in the NFL and the most penalty yardage. Tonight, not a good night. 11 penalties, 125 yards for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Let's go out to Arrowhead Stadium where we have Ron the Show Hughley. Ron, a partner of mine on the midday show, Show and Vern. Ron, you were out there tonight. what was your immediate reaction following the game?
Well, I'm going to ignore what you're saying because it's a serious business. It really reminds me of what I led the show off with last Monday. And I said, I think the Chiefs needed to lose this game against the Lions because I don't think they're getting it. I really feel like they had got to a point where they felt like they can just roll the helmets out there and they'll be able to beat these teams. And this was a team they should have. And so they've had multiple games here that's becoming a trend where they don't come out ready to go. They're not focused. They have silly penalties. They drop off. It's just not what you think that they should be and be ready. And then they try to flip the switch. You can't flip the switch all the time. And I think there were injuries and things like that that hurt this team tonight. But I think it starts with the mindset and how they're coming out. They did it against the Raiders. They did it against the Lions. And they did it against the Colts tonight.
One of the things that you've been hitting on all week has been you're searching for the fire from Frank Clark. And what you really saw tonight was more fire, I think, from Justin Houston than anyone on the Chiefs, especially Frank Clark. Now that you got to see him in person and watch him, I'm sure, most of the night, what were your takeaways on that front?
Yeah, Justin Houston clearly outplayed Frank Clark tonight. And I don't want to hear offensive line stuff, whatever. He clearly outplayed him tonight. And I don't think Frank was awful tonight. I mean, he was really good at run fit. Now, I mean, as what we have started to see all games this year, he wasn't able to win one-on-ones. So let alone he didn't win one-on-ones, so we know he didn't win any double teams. And you were really hoping when Chris Jones goes down and Anthony Hitchens goes down that he would be a guy that would be a leader to step up and make big plays. And he was just, you know, what he's been, and that's just okay, not making big plays. Tyrann Mathieu, I thought, was really good tonight and was what you wanted to see from him. Can I come here, though? I don't want to put this one as much on the defense because I've been seeing it on Chiefs Twitter, and I've been seeing this, that the defense is getting a lot of the heat, and they weren't great. But, man, I don't know. They got a turnover. They got stops. They make them kick field goals. I know the Chiefs had injuries, but 13 points, I'm sorry. You got Andy, you got Pat, you got Travis, you got DeMarcus Robinson. I mean, you've got those backs. 13 points is not acceptable. And I feel like we're going to get hard on the defense a lot here, and I understand. But, man, this team works because that offense is so potent. And I know they had some injuries. But 13 against the Colts had injuries, right? They're both their safeties are out. I know me and Dink were talking about that earlier. They're all world inside linebacker. Leonard was out. I mean,
the third leading tackler on. Then they had two guys making their first ever NFL snaps tonight. They lost both corners that were in the game at some time. One came back. Let me ask you this though, Ron. Do you think the Chiefs are putting too much pressure on Mahomes to bail them out? Because I'm looking at this, he was hobbled. That ankle wasn't feeling right even in the second quarter. When that happens, you got to run the football. The Colts were giving up 5.5 yards per carry. They came in and said, hey, we can run on the Chiefs. You know, the Chiefs should have had a philosophy, we can run on the Colts. The Colts' run defense was 25th in the NFL. It wasn't good at all, and teams were gashing. They were the worst two run defenses in the NFL. You wouldn't have guessed that from the Chiefs. And to me, they were in a close game where they could have ran the football more, but seems like they keep waiting for Pat Mahomes to bail them out instead of they gave up on their running game. That bothers me.
I hear what you're saying, Bink, but could they have run the ball? Yeah. Could somebody else other than Damian Williams have gotten a carry? It blows me away. The last 2 weeks is probably the time we've seen the running game be at its best. And that's been under Shady McCoy and Darrell Williams, and neither one of them got a carry tonight, which I thought was really, really odd.
Yeah.
But could they have run the ball more? Sure. But, man, I taking the ball out of Pat's hands, if you want to put it in Pat's hands, I got no problem with it. They just didn't execute, and their guys didn't get open, and the offensive line was bad. I've talked a lot about Cam Irving and him being very much like
Eric Fisher. Well, I mean, Cam was bad tonight. Now, I'm not going to say I've never seen Eric Fisher have a game like Cam has. I've seen many of those. But he was bad tonight, along with the rest of the offensive line. That seemed to be the struggle. But, man, I don't know, man. I don't know about pressure on Pat. He can handle it.
Well, here's the thing, though, Ron. Here's the thing, though. Normally I wouldn't say that. The only reason I said it is because he wasn't 100%. You know, when he's hobbled on that ankle, that's when I think I would have picked up the running game more, maybe given it to McCoy a few times.
Yeah, I mean, they could have. But, I mean, I just – you're going to put the ball in his hands. I just think they didn't execute well enough. And I don't know what that – I don't know what it was. I think the offensive line is a lot of it, and they didn't get separation again. They couldn't make big plays or even attempt big plays again 2 weeks in a row. We've all laughed off and said there ain't no blueprint for the Chiefs. Well, I mean, I understand that Sammy and Tyreek weren't playing, so that does change things. But I'm really interested to see, like, this is 2 weeks in a row that teams have just not just taken away the big play. Pete, and they don't even seem to even be attempting balls down the field in the last two games.
That is the voice of Ron the Show Hughley. Catch him tomorrow, 10 a.m. Show and Vern. Thanks, Ron. You guys are listening right now to the Arrowhead Pride post-game show presented by 7th Street Casino, where it's at. When we come back, we'll have our AP sounds of the game. Stay with us.
The Arrowhead Pride post-game show presented by 7th Street Casino.